Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good to see you all. It is good to see you all. So, if you haven't checked out our website, you need to check out the website. It's really cool. And somebody needs to send me a prayer request. We have a prayer request page on there. Nobody has sent me a prayer request yet. I need prayer requests. I'm just excited about getting our first online prayer request. So, go home, send me a prayer request. Besides from Kim, I've got about 10 from him. But they keep saying, don't contact me. The prayer shawls are not in your announcements, but that is, they are due. They are due. They want to hand those out on Valentine's Day, the 14th, at the Grand Haven Living Center. So if you've got them done or almost done, let's get those turned in. The mitten tree is on its way out. I actually didn't check to see if it's still up. It might be gone, because it don't take Dean Long to get rid of stuff once he's got permission. So whatever donations yet for the mitten tree, that is due. Copies of the annual report book are available. See Doris. And coming up on February 21st, this 45 Lansing Area Church partnership where we raise money to feed the 3,000 families. I don't know how we've done on that. But they will be delivering those on the 21st, so I hope you are still praying about this. We haven't talked about this much, but you're still praying about it. And if you want to serve, help pass out the food, that is available. Mark and Lola have been spearheading this. Thank you very much, guys, because it never would have got done if I had to do it. But they've been spearheading this, and you can see them, and they will put you to work. Yes, they will. This week, Advent House Lunch Packing After Church. We do not need any adults. I was told. Don't need any adults, so, you know.
We hope.
Oh, so you may be called upon at the last minute then. Okay.
You can walk through and check, and if we're still busy and we'd like to help, that would be
fine. Okay, so you can help if you want. Susan Cancrow is with us, the director of Advent House, and she's going to be speaking in a little bit for us, and then she's going to be talking a lot to the children downstairs about Advent House. Great to have you here, Susan. A couple of things that also didn't make it. Mission Sunday, next Sunday. We need third world artifacts. If you have any, we're going to decorate the auditorium that way, and we're going to really emphasize on missions. Haiti's our big emphasis with all that's going on in Haiti. All month we're going to be receiving money for Haiti. There's also going to be a luncheon afterwards next Sunday. Is that everything? Got it.
Music.
Okay. And special music. Yes. The whole service is geared to this. We've been working on this for a while. So it's going to be really, really good. And I just circled in here, beginning handbells. Wasn't that so great when they played the other day? Things are happening. We have people coming up playing handbells. We got a couple.
You're still welcome to come to beginning handbells Friday at 5:00.
So you can still get in there. We have a couple choir robes left if you want to get in the choir. I mean, if you want to get involved, we have a slot for you somewhere. Come see me. And whatever you want to get involved in, we got something going somewhere. We will get you involved. We will. Okay. Thank you for being here. Let's enter into worship.
Please join me in the call to worship. How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive. The Lord will sustain him upon his sickbed. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. Amen and amen. Join me in the opening prayer. Lord God, our Alpha and Omega, our beginning and our end, who has defeated sin and death through your Son, Jesus Christ, who wipes the tears from our eyes even now with the promise of a future where tears will only be for joy. We praise you, O God, and love you with heart, soul, and mind. May this worship be like a spring of cold, clear water, refreshing, cleansing, renewing, living, and pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. first reading today is Psalm 104, verses 14 to 24. You cause the grass to grow for the cattle and plants for people to use, to bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the human heart, oil to make the face shine, and bread to strengthen the human heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests, the stork has its home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats, the rock are a refuge for the conies. You have made the moon to mark the seasons, the sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness, and it is night, when all the animals of the forest come creeping out. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they withdraw and lie down in their dens. People go out to their work and to their labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. Give him my heart. We have with us Susan Cancrow, who is the director of Advent House Ministries. And she's going to come and share. We're a little bit involved. I'll tell you the truth, I don't know much about Advent House, so I'm looking forward to this. I know our church participates a little bit every month or every fifth Sunday and in other ways. And so, Susan, it's great to have you here.
Well, thank you very much. I just want to say that it's wonderful to be here, and the music in this church is wonderful. It's magnificent.
Yes, it is.
I was sitting and thinking that I think in heaven there'd be a, they call it a bell choir, right? I do. It's so uplifting. This is just a minute for mission, so I'll keep it short. But I wanted to, of course, my name is Susan Kanker. As you know, I'm the director at Advent House Ministries. I've been at Advent House for 16 years, and it seems like yesterday I started. It's never boring, so it just kind of flies. Advent House, I'm going to speak to two things. One, what happened this past Wednesday in our community was a point in time count of the homeless. And, you know, I was looking at your church bulletin, today's information, which has a list of people that you all care about, that you know about, that you pray for whatever's happening with them. Having a community that knows you, that knows us, is so important. That is the cushion between trouble and disaster. In a community, we help each other. And that help makes us avoid things like homelessness, for example. Many of the people we serve don't have that kind of community. Advent House is part of a group of shelters in the community that's called the Greater Lansing Homeless Resolution Network. And that network has existed for years and years. Unfortunately, we'd all like to not have the problems in the community and not have to exist, but we do. But every year, we count, one day in January, we count the number of people who are homeless. And we, as a group of agencies, get our staff together. And actually, Sharon Dade, who's one of the senior management people at Volunteers of America, spearheads this. And they go around and count all the people who are homeless, making sure we haven't missed anyone. You know, like your list of knowing what's going on with people, we don't always know that. So we did that this past Wednesday. I don't have the count yet because we don't have the results. But we know that every year is somewhere between 400 and 700 people, at least on any given night, who are homeless. What we don't always know is the people who are not in shelters but who are couch homeless. But what Advent House does, and I will be brief on this too, is we do outreach and provide some services to folks who are homeless and those who are at risk of homelessness. The service that you are involved in as a community is our weekend day shelter. We're the only place on the weekend in the Lansing area that's open all day Saturday and all day Sunday. We see, last year we saw over 2,100 different people. On any given day, we see approximately 140 to 170 people. That includes single adults and families with children. We also serve meals, which you provide in a sack lunch on Sunday, on the fifth Sunday. Just so you know, that small effort on the church to do 80 sack lunches every fifth Sunday adds up. We served 32,715 meals last year. So your sack lunches were part of that 32,000. I think we have to remember sometimes that the little things we do add up to big things, and they make a difference. I just want you to know that as we do our work, a lot of what we do is build community with the people we serve. We help them with education, with getting jobs. We have programs. We have a literacy program. We have an employment program. We have a program to help people get SSI, who should have that, who are disabled. We have a program that actually pays rent for single, chronically homeless adults. We do a variety of things. In everything we do, we get the trust of the people we serve, and we try to help them one step at a time to overcome the obstacles to stability that are there for them. Your meal, those sandwiches on a Sunday, are so important. The first thing we need is to be fed. Without food in our belly, we can't do anything. We don't have any strength. You are giving the basic strength to people so that they can take the next step. And it might seem like a small thing, but they get so excited about those sack lunches on Sunday, I can't even tell you. So I just want you to know it means a lot. Somebody took the time to make something just for me. if I'm that person. Somebody made that for me. That's how that man or woman or child would think. And it makes a difference. So I want you to know that I'd be happy at some point maybe to come back and speak more, if you wish, about what we do. But what you're doing has a major impact on the lives of so many people. We could not do this without you. So I thank you very much for that, and I hope that you will feel encouraged to continue to do that wonderful work with us. I have some information about Advent House. I'll be leaving that for you. If you want to read more about the statistics, it gives you kind of an idea of the impact of what we do. If you have any questions, please feel free to let me know. Call me at any time. But thank you so much, and I'm going to be happy to talk with the children, the young people, and hope that we can see you again in the future.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. The children are going out. If I can have the Prudential Council members come forward, down here, or up here, it don't matter. Let's do up here. This is your Prudential Council for 2010. The hierarchy of the church that does not have a hierarchy.
No.
Oh. Come on. Where's Kim? We know where Kim is. He's hiding with his headphones on. There he goes. So we have some new members. Also, come on up. We're all going to pray for you. So you got to get up here where we can all see you. Okay. Let's see if I can get all this right. Frank is one of our new trustees. We're very glad about that. Linda is our treasurer. Kim is a trustee. Our lay leader for the year is Rilla. Our lay leader-elect, Roger. Our lay leader past is not here. He must be downstairs working somewhere. Lorraine is going to be a trustee this year. And two of our deacons, Karen and Cosette, are here. Our other deacon is not here, Kathy. And another trustee who is going to go to the hospital this week. We need to add you to our prayer list. Yes. Okay, Ruth. So we want to take a minute and pray over these people so they can lead us down the right path that we want to go. Actually, the governing body in a congregational church is you. They just get to stand up here. They get to go to the meeting. You actually get to tell them what to do. So tell away. They want information. Just call them, email them, talk to them all the time. And I just believe God's going to do some really, really good things this year with Mayflower Church. I am really excited. So that's your new Prudential Council for the year. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for providing the people to fill all these positions, a lot of positions. And then give us one mind, Lord, your mind, that we can be your church going down your path that you would have at this stage of our existence, and that we can be accomplishing for our congregation and the community what you would have to be accomplished. So lead us and guide us, bless us, help us, unify us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for serving. Thank you. Now, y'all think you're off the hook for another year, but we're going to start earlier this next year. And I am not going to be on the nominating committee. Okay. So,
that is just great. Pray for your leadership. I really do. I really think God's got some great things this year. And hopefully, in addition to our PA system where we can operate the mics at separate volumes. You don't know that. All the mics are on one little switch. So that's why this one on my ear sounds quieter than this one, because if we turned this one up, you couldn't stand to hear me. But giving through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. When we're talking about giving, though we're going to receive an offering here in a minute, giving is so much more. Advent House that we heard about, all the other charities that we're involved in, Haiti coming up, we're going to start receiving gifts for, all big and small. We have several of you work in other, volunteer in other places, the Salvation Army and other places, and do so much good work. You know, it's the stuff that is out front, it's the stuff behind the scenes, it's sharing your gifts and talents, you know, with others, giving. Being that person that God wants you to do, to be, working, giving, with the sacrifice of praise to God, giving joyfully unto the Lord. I invite you to worship God with your giving this morning.
Father, we are so thankful you take such good care of us and you bless us and you help us and you help us to help others. You're doing such a great work here. And we're just thankful to give back to you a little bit of what you have given to us, that every need of your people will be met, every need of your church will be met, every need in the community that we're supposed to do can be met. Bless this offering, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's going to be a glorious day. Yes, it is. Mark chapter 9. If you're following along, I'm actually going to start reading at verse 17 instead of 14. One of the crowd asked him, "Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed of a spirit which makes him mute, and whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not." And he answered them and said, "Oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long will I put up with you? Bring him to me." They brought the boy to him. When he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling on the ground, he began rolling around, foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. It has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, please take pity on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, "I do believe, help my unbelief." Then Jesus saw that the crowd was rapidly gathering. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You deaf and mute spirit, I command you to come out of him. Do not enter him again." After crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out. The boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up, and he got up. I just never get tired of hearing all these different stories
that are in the scriptures. They're just good stories. Good stories. And so here, after Jesus was at the Mount of Transfiguration and came down, found his disciples arguing with the Pharisees. You know by now arguing does no good. You do know that, right? Arguing about theology, arguing about your marriage, arguing about your teenagers, arguing. You do know that that does no good. Jesus said, "A kingdom divided against itself will fall. A house divided against itself will not stand." Yeah, whether it's a church, or marriage, or a relationship, even a work relationship, as long as it is us versus them, we can survive anything. There is nothing we cannot survive. When it becomes us versus us, you just might as well end it. It's over. It's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. Now, first thing I tell my married couples that come to me, first thing I ask them is, "How often do you fight?" Okay. And the first assignment I give them is to go a whole week without fighting. Yeah. Almost never accomplish it. I get the strangest looks. A whole week? We can't go a day without fighting. We mean a whole week? Yeah, let's go a whole week without fighting. We won't have anything to say that don't say anything. Because obviously what you are saying is not working. See? So they're arguing about theology. Jesus says, "Okay, what are you arguing about? I just had these two really great days on the mountain and now I'm back with you. What are you arguing about?" "Well, we're arguing about whether or not you can cast demons out, and we came and brought this demon-possessed child to you, and we told your disciples..." See, that's why some of your prayers aren't getting answered right there. "And we told your disciples to cast him out. And they couldn't," which proves that I was right. You can't cast out demons to start with. Jesus said, "Unbelieving generation, how long am I going to have to put up with you?" Well, not long, because he's headed to Jerusalem. He'll be dead here shortly. Yeah, same. Okay. That wasn't negative, was it? Was that? How long? Okay, bring him to me. Now, what happens next amazes me. Because I have people who call me You know, and say, oh, we got to have prayer. We have a little prayer network set up here. It works really good. We shoot out emails. We call some people and get things praying. And God really, God answers prayer. He does. And we, as soon as I get one, we try to get it out and get the word out. We don't hesitate. The boy comes up to Jesus, goes into one of his demonic fits, and Jesus, see, when people call me, it's like, this terrible thing's happening. Get ready, praying right now. And Jesus says, oh, well, geez, that's kind of ugly. I'm paraphrasing it. Wow. How long has this been happening? That's got to be hard to watch as a parent. Don't you think that's going to be hard to watch as a parent when your kid's going through this kind of suffering? How long has this thing been happening to him? And Dad says, well, it's been going on for a while, and the Spirit throws this in the fire, and he's trying to kill the kid, and blah, blah. If you can do anything, see, the problem is not the demon possession. That's not the problem. The symptom is the demon possession. The problem is unbelief. Yeah. Yeah. See, what's wrong with your marriage? Well, you know, my wife. If you could just straighten my wife out. See, I've told you this before. I get these all the time. All the time. This is not rare. Dr. Martin, I will send you my wife if you can just straighten her out. Send her and a check. I will do my best. That is exactly what I tell her. That is the truth. That's the truth. That's what I tell her. Okay. What is the problem? This or that or that. We go through several things. And none of it is ever the problem. Whatever is told me on day one in a counseling session is never, 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 ever the problem. Never. Never. It is the symptom of a problem. We don't have a clue what the problem is yet, but now I know several of the symptoms. See, sometimes we look at things and think, that's the problem. Well, I'll just run to Jesus. Jesus will cast that thing out. Woo! Everything's going to be okay. That's not the problem. That's a symptom of the problem. And we look at the problems or the symptoms of the problem and we think, last week, the leper came to Jesus and said, I know you can, if you're willing, you can make me clean. I don't know if you're willing, but you know, if you're willing, this week, I know you can. So we can get, if you're willing and can, both fixed out in us. That takes care of 90% of our Christian problems. 90%. I don't know if God will do this for me, what we talked about last week. I don't know if God can actually handle this. That's what we're talking about this week. I don't know if He can. If you can, I don't know if you can. But when we settle both those questions in our hearts, that's going to take care of 90% of our problems in Christianity. We found out last week, He's willing. Found out this week, He can. More than He can. If you can, see, I said to you, O unbelieving generation, I told you what the problem was just 2-3 verses beforehand. You said, no, it's not. That's not the problem. The problem is my kid has a demon. Look it. And Jesus said, blah, 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 blah. Until... It's okay to paraphrase Jesus with blah, blah, isn't it? On a Sunday morning, is that okay or not? Is that crossing the line? Well, no lightning, so I must be okay. 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 Because He's going after the problem. The problem is unbelief. The response is, I do believe, help my unbelief. I do believe. If I didn't believe, I wouldn't have brought my kid here. I absolutely don't believe enough because I'm bossing your disciples around like they're servants. I love that, being a pastor. I do. Sir, come on in. Waste my time. Call me at home when you have nothing to say. One guy called me up one night. Oh, this is now available over the internet. I hope you're listening, Al. One guy called me up one night. It was midnight. Blah, blah, blah. I thought, you know, I'm expecting some emergency. I said, finally said, what's up? Oh, nothing. I couldn't sleep. I just thought I'd give you a call. Thank you, because I didn't really want to sleep anyway. You know, just a wasted time sleeping 6-7 hours a night. You know. So, yeah. Time. Very important. Call me if you have a problem. I'll pray for you anytime. Call me. Come see me. But not just because you're bored. If you're bored, I'll get you a friend. How's that? You know? Yeah. Same with Jesus. He was so busy, he didn't have time to eat. I've never been that busy, obviously. I should be that busy from time to time, but obviously I'm not there yet. The problem, unbelief. Now, how much faith do we need? We need a mountain of faith? Mustard seed. You know what a mustard seed is? Mustard seed, you can fit about 30 of them under your thumbnail. They're that small. And the Bible several times refers to faith in different portions. One of the portions is mustard seed. How much faith does Dad have here at the time he admits he finally has a problem? I'm thinking more mustard seed than mountain. I do believe, help my unbelief. Did Jesus say, close, but no cigar. Sorry. If you go back and you really work at it a little bit, maybe you'll get enough faith and we'll... No. Close enough. Close enough, I'll take care of the rest. See, God is willing, last Sunday, God can this Sunday, but notice what God said. Notice what Jesus said. If you can, all things are possible to him who believes. He didn't say all things are possible for God, all things are possible for God. He said, all things are possible for him who believes. Mustard seed size faith. Thought we had that fixed. God in us. Because I'm not talking about believing like just to believe in something. It's not us outside of God. It's us in God, God in us, and faith is the connector. So that his power runs through us into a lost and dying world. That's what we're talking about. All things are possible for him who believes. That's why we pray. That's why we have joys and concerns. That's why when somebody's going into the hospital, we pray. And somebody's in the hospital, we pray. That's why when somebody's going through stuff, we actually pray. We don't just have a prayer list. I got a prayer list. It was last week's. Where is it? There it is. Okay. It's a great Bible marker. Okay. But it's also really great because you can actually pray over the days. Yeah. Right. And then you have to add a few because everybody doesn't make it on there. So you add a few at the bottom. And you stick it in there. And then you pray. Because all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. How much faith? Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Whatever amount of faith that is, that's all it takes. And that enables God to do His work through us in the world. So He's willing, He can, He is willing, you can. Not without Him, but with Him. So with that thought in mind, we're going to do our joys and concerns, which is sharing what God's been doing, and then taking prayer requests, and then praying. And letting God do His work through us praying, and changing lives. How's that? Yeah. Great to have you here. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you. You're so good. You are so good. And you're a God who loves to hear and answer the prayers of your people. So we joyfully bring these requests, the ones that were spoken, the ones that are in our hearts, up to you, that you will bring your perfect will to pass in each and every situation. We don't know. We just see the symptoms. We don't always see the problem. You know the problem. You know how to fix the problem. And we pray that you bring your perfect will to pass to help, to encourage, to heal, to bless, to guide the surgeon's hands, to bring about what needs to be brought about in each and every situation. Thank you for those that are on the mend, and they'll hopefully will quickly be back with us. Thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for loving us and caring about us and being concerned about everything that concerns us. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Our closing hymn.
May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Amen.